Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, it's an opportunity for you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion, ask your questions. Love to hear your input on the subject matter today. We're going to be talking about the pathway to panic. The pathway to panic. I believe we're watching the ginning up and the panic being carried out in America over the coronavirus that's going to be very, very detrimental to our entire economy. In fact, I'm looking at an article that says, however, as scary as the coronavirus is, it pales in comparison to the number of people that have died from the flu this year. For example, influenza has infected as many as 45 million Americans since October, and it's killed as many as 46,000, according to the estimates from the CDC, end quote. We'll talk about that further in the broadcast. The telephone number that will get you through to our microphones for your dialogue and discussion is 831-0917, 831-0917. May I invite you to call, ask your questions, join in the dialogue discussion, and let me remind you also, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture. It's not a matter of what I think, say, or feel. It's not a matter of what you may think, say, or feel. It's not based upon denominational dogma with its rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. It's not based upon ideological bent from the political quarters, either the left or the right side of the aisle, as it is called in the Beltway in Washington. But we face the issues based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It was Jesus that said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That was in John 8, 31 and 32. And then Jesus said to his disciples in John 14, 6, I am truth. But ladies and gentlemen, he made a declaratory statement in John 17, 17. Jesus said, thy word is truth. So ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the word of God as being the source book of truth. It doesn't just contain a small tidbit of truth. It's not just every now and then truth. From cover to cover, from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, all that God says is truth. Now, you may not understand it all. You may not embrace it all. You may not take it as a theological directive, and many do not, but it's still truth, whether we accept it or not. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We see that taking place in Washington Day, and may I say as a little parenthetical footnote to that statement, I believe we're seeing a mishandling of the truth in Washington from the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic leftists. They're not telling the truth, and they're allowing the media to hype the coronavirus for them, and I believe for a contrived purpose. We'll talk about that in this broadcast today. But we need to stick to the truth. Listen to the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made a powerful statement that's been a very effective statement from my perspective. He said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And may I suggest that is a good antidote for what we're seeing and hearing in society today. Seek the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, stand for the truth. There are a lot of people today that are not standing for the truth, and as a result of that, they'll fall for anything. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. They carry the full line of power equipment for the homeowner as well as for the professional landscaper. Tools for Time also carries the hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. They also have a full knowledgeable staff of men that can answer your questions, give you insight and direction about your power equipment as well as hurricane preparedness equipment. They can answer all your questions at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's located right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's where you find the gigantic American flag flying 24/7. Find the flag. The base of the flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, that telephone number is 831-0917. I believe a very powerful, purposeful, pointed conversation today about what we see taking place is needful, it's necessary, it's vital for us to tamp down some of the scare tactics that's being used by the leftist and the social media that we have that is literally none other than the fake media, and it's found across America, and I believe it's doing a grave disservice to our American culture, to our American economy, and to the future of the reelection of our president. I think it has my very frank opinion. I think that most of the hype, if not all of the hype, is contrived, and it has a fundamental basis, and it's not a conspiracy theory on my part, but I believe there's a fundamental basic reason behind it, and that is to hype Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden for their potential success, and one of them being the President of the United States of America versus President Donald J. Trump. I believe we can look at statistical records. I believe we can look at what's being said and done. We can look at the actual facts of the coronavirus and other viruses we've had down through the years and understand that there's a contrived purpose. And so I'm concerned about that. That's what we want to open Pandora's box and talk about today. And it reminds me, ladies and gentlemen, what we see taking place. It reminds me of the book of Nehemiah. Some of you may have studied the book of Nehemiah. Let me just give you a little Youngblood, thumbnail sketch of Nehemiah. Nehemiah heard about the condition of his home and his city, Jerusalem. The walls were still in debris and burned down. The gates were still trashed and not secure around the people. He was concerned about it. He prayed and sought God, and God spoke to his heart and gave him the direction, if you will, to go into Jerusalem and rebuild the walls. He gathered together the people, and he had shared with them his challenge from God. And they said, let us rise up and build, the second chapter of the book of Nehemiah. And they had joined together. You look at the third chapter of Nehemiah, there was the cooperation and the cooperative spirit among all of the people. And they had joined together in a fashion that could get the work done. They'd put together the whole host of people to carry out the work. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the total number of people carrying out the task of rebuilding the wall was astronomical. They were able to accomplish that task in just a matter of 52 days as a result of all of them having a heart for God and a mind to work, as the scripture tells us. And as a result of that, they were building the wall. But ladies and gentlemen, when they were just a short way into the rebuilding of the wall, there were those that did not want that to take place. There were those that wanted to challenge and chide and try to tear down and destroy. Nehemiah and his 49,942 people carried out the task. They ultimately rebuilt the wall. But when you look at the fourth chapter of the book of Nehemiah, you find, ladies and gentlemen, there was high criticism. Let me just read you a few verses, and then I'll talk for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, listen carefully, because it sets the pace for where we're going today in our dialogue and discussion entitled Pathway to Panic. Pathway to Panic. Keep that in mind as I share with you these verses of Scripture. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before the brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him. And he said, even that which they build, if the fox go up, it shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And it goes further, and it says in verse 6, it says, so we built the wall, and all the wall, and joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Ladies and gentlemen, there was derision involved there. There was deception that was there. And that derision and deception was carried out. And I've analyzed it pretty thoroughly, and I won't try to go into detail. It's not the purpose of the broadcast, but to set the stage where we're going. The Nehemiah and his followers that were carrying out the work of rebuilding the wall, that entourage of people, a total number of 49,000 some odd people that were carrying out the task, 49,942 to be exact, they were successful in doing it. But ladies and gentlemen, their involvement was criticized. Verse 1 of chapter 4. Their inabilities were criticized, chapter 4, verse 2. Their intentions were criticized, chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. Their impossible task was criticized in verses 2 and 3. Their inadequacies were all criticized in verse 3. So, ladies and gentlemen, here's the picture. They were criticized and condemned, and derision took place as they were carrying out the work. That wasn't sufficient to get Nehemiah and his 49,942 people to stop working. They continued to work. The scripture says in that sixth verse very clearly, because they had a mind to work. They had a heart for God. They had a mind to work. They were committed to the work that they had been challenged to do, and they were carrying it out. They kept on keeping on, ladies and gentlemen, working and building the wall. But the enemies found a new approach. Listen carefully. The enemies of God, the enemies of Nehemiah, and the 49,942 people that were carrying out the work, they found a new approach. They found that criticism didn't work. They were criticizing their involvement. They were criticizing their inabilities. They criticized their intentions. They criticized the impossible task that was before them. They criticized the inadequacies of the people to carry out the work. And they found that their criticism didn't work. Now, may I pause for a moment and say, oftentimes, that's what we see coming from the barrage of Satan for your life and my life, is the ones that come around us criticizing and being critical of what we're trying to do, what we believe God would have us to do. But that didn't work. So what did they do next? They had a conspiracy. The criticism didn't work. So they tried a conspiracy, and that conspiracy was for them to continue. The enemies would come into the camp. The enemies would whisper in the ear of the workers, if you will, and would try to get them to be dissuaded and discouraged in believing that somehow, some way, they were going to be destroyed. The scripture says in the eighth verse, and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder the work. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says then in verse 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, and I'll not take the time to read it, but simply recap it for you. The enemies would come into the camp and would basically whisper in the ears of the workers. They would do so, and they would tell the workers that, you just wait. There's coming a night when everybody's going to be asleep. There's coming a night when nobody be alert. There's coming a time when nobody be watching. And when that happens, we're going to come in and slay every one of you. We're going to take your life. That caused dread. That caused discouragement. That caused fear. And that brought about panic, ladies and gentlemen, in the hearts of the workers as they were following Nehemiah and rebuilding the wall, 49,942 people. It caused panic in their hearts. But ladies and gentlemen, a little fast forward for that story. That didn't cause them to stop doing the work. They continued to work with a mortise and a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. They had watchmen set up around the wall while the workers were working so that they would be protected, so that they can continue to do the work that God called them to do and not be panic-stricken and be paralyzed in carrying out the task. So with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's a good foundation, especially as Christians. That's a good foundation for us to recognize that what we're seeing today is the pathway to panic. In fact, I'm looking at a headline that says, German Chancellor Angela Merkel issued a stark warning Wednesday, citing expert estimates that up to 60 to 70% of all the population of Germany could be infected by the coronavirus, end quote. Now, if that's not a scare tactic, nothing is. And I'm not saying that the coronavirus we need to just look at, wave off, and say it's nonchalant, and in a nonchalant fashion, and say it's not authentic, and that it is problematic, and that some will die, some will be taken ill. But should we be panic-stricken, ladies and gentlemen, is the question that I broach for us today. we are witnessing the pathway to panic in America, I believe. I'm calling it the pathway to panic because I believe we're watching panic take over rather than facts and a level head and a sound mind. Listen very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. If you scream, your house is falling, your house is falling. If you know, you've heard the old cliche, the little boy outside screaming wolf. But if you scream outside somebody's door, your house is falling, your house is falling, your house is falling. If you scream it loud enough, if you scream it long enough, you will eventually have folks that will panic and run out of their own home. Sheer panic. Yes, and I believe today, ladies and gentlemen, we all agree that the coronavirus is dangerous. We now know that the cases in America now exceed 1,000 across 12 states. Here's the article. Coronavirus cases in the U.S. exceeds 1,000 as Michigan sees its first case. Coronavirus Task Force member Dr. Anthony Fauci joined Sean Hannity to discuss White House response to the coronavirus outbreak. The total amount of coronavirus cases in the United States surpassed 1,000 on Tuesday night, with the virus officially being reported in all but 12 states. Various events have been canceled throughout the country as health officials warn about attending large-scale gatherings. At least 28 deaths have been reported. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me summarize just what I've read so far. We've approached now about 1,000 being infected by the coronavirus. It's in all the states, someone ill with it, in all of the states except 12 of the states. We've had a total of 28 deaths in America. That is as of yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. This article continues, says, we would like the country to realize that as a nation, we can't be doing the kinds of things we were doing a few months ago. Dr. Anthony Fauci, a top official in the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases, said during a White House press briefing. He referenced guidelines by the White House advising people to clean their hands regularly and to avoid handshakes. They're not calling it the fist bump and the elbow shake, ladies and gentlemen. We should also start making habits like covering our coughs and sneezes and refraining from touching your face. The Center for Disease Control and Prevention, that's the CDC, is advising those over 60 years of age with underlying health conditions to avoid crowded places, unnecessary travel, and to stock up on supplies. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I find that, let me just touch on that, analyze the text of what I just read. Some of those things he said is good, but when he says, and stock up on supplies, you realize that because of panic now, because of panic in society, in the general marketplace, people are going into Walmarts and other stores and cleaning the shelves. People are buying canned goods like they're going to be sequestered for 25 years. People are bunkering down and hoarding food and hoarding other items. As one writer said, read an article yesterday, some people are hoarding food that they don't want and would not eat if they had to, but they're doing it because they think that's the right thing to do because they're panic-stricken as to what they need to do and the direction they need to take. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm talking about that I'm so concerned about on today's broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, across the great nation of America, there looms a sense of fear and awe, that's A-W-E, awe and panic. As I said a moment ago, grocery store shelves are being raided, basic supplies are being hoarded, schools are being closed, even children are now cowering down as a result of the panic. Churches, ladies and gentlemen, are closing their doors. Yes, we're going to touch on that in this broadcast today. Churches locking the door and saying you can reach us online, watch us online. Ladies and gentlemen, let me touch on it again. We're watching the panic start. We're watching the pandering toward panic. We're watching the pathway that leads to ultimate panic in a nation. And this broadcast is designed, ladies and gentlemen, to give you enough facts and figures and information and details that it will squelch the panic. We should be concerned, yes. We should be alert, yes. We should be aware, yes. We should be, as Christians, praying, yes. But I do not believe that we need to be panic-stricken into doing things and causing the whole collapse of a society, as is entirely possible if this continues on the trajectory that it's on today, at the speed that it's on as I speak. Ladies and gentlemen, Harvard University now moves to close its doors and go online. Here's the article. Harvard University tells students move out due to coronavirus. Cambridge, Massachusetts, Dateline. Harvard University is telling its students to move out of their dorms by Saturday at 5 p.m. I'm sorry, Sunday at 5 p.m. due to the spread of the coronavirus. The school plans to move classes online starting March 23rd. The goal of these changes is to minimize the need to gather in large groups and spend prolonged time in close proximity with each other in spaces such as classrooms, dining halls, and residential buildings. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. Feel free to pick up that telephone and dial 831-0917, 831-0917. Let's talk about it. Are you concerned about it? Have you stocked up a year's groceries in your pantry? Are you panic-stricken yet? That's what the fake, false, phony media would have you to believe. We'll talk about the media and its involvement. We'll talk about the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats on the left that has a plan and a purpose for using this as a crisis to cause panic, to try to undermine the election November the 3rd when we reelect President Donald J. Trump. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please. We lost our caller. Harvard University, ladies and gentlemen, tells students to move out of the dorms. They're going to go online with their classes. New York just announced, ladies and gentlemen, that they're going to set up a containment zone and use the National Guard to enforce the zone. Now, if that doesn't scare the socks off of you, nothing can. Let me read you a few blurbs from the massive article on that subject. I watched Cuomo, Governor Cuomo, on early Fox News this morning, and he had such a long mule face, and he was talking so somber and serious. But calling out the National Guard to cordon off a place in your state to contain the people, to prevent them from going and coming, if that doesn't cause panic, nothing can. There's a motive, ladies and gentlemen. This article says New York sets up the coronavirus containment zone and will deploy the National Guard to assist in doing so. End quote. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo announced on Tuesday that he is deploying the state's National Guard to assist in the establishment of the coronavirus containment zone in New Rochelle, north of New York City. New Rochelle is a city of about 80,000 people, 20 miles north of the big city, is a particular problem because a cluster of cases has broken out there, Cuomo explained in his news conference. New Rochelle, at this point, is probably the largest cluster of these cases in the United States, he said, according to the New York Times. The numbers have been going up, Cuomo added. The numbers continue to go up. The numbers are going up unabated. Now, notice how many times he said, the numbers are going up. The numbers continue to go up. The numbers go up unabated. Notice now the how would you say, the colorful language that he's using to paint the picture, to draw total panic. Notice he continues saying, we need a special public health strategy for New Rochelle, New York. Westchester County, where the New Rochelle is located, has 108 cases, Cuomo said, compared to New York City, which has 36 known cases, according to the reports of Wall Street Journal. There are 173 confirmed corona cases statewide in New York. Well, look at the size. Look at the territory. Look at the number of people, ladies and gentlemen. The article further says the epicenter of the zone is the Young Israel of New Rochelle, a synagogue of the at the heart of the modern Orthodox community that was attended by a 50-year-old attorney dubbed Patient Zero in the state, the journal reported. Cuomo said the New York National Guard would be used in a three-quarter mile containment area centered at the synagogue to deliver food to residents, as well as assisting in clearing public entrance and exit in the area. The containment zone will be in place for 2 weeks starting Tuesday. During the time, facilities will be closed. Large public gatherings will be limited. The New York Times reported that several private schools and universities have canceled their classes and their campus activities. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm wanting us to understand, and I'm rapidly trying to get you to listen as I am putting the big picture together, putting the large picture together, the global picture as well as the national scene in America. What I'm wanting us to understand, there's a common thread that I've not seen in any other virus, any other outbreak, any other virus in my lifetime. Now, there's got to be a motive behind the modus operandi that's being taken on this virus and what they're doing and why. Further, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the pathway to panic. What's causing the pathway to panic? What's taking place? Seattle officials order isolation quarantine. The headline says, Seattle area officials poised to order involuntary, listen to the term now, involuntary isolation and quarantine. In other words, they're going to isolate people that do not want to be isolated. They're going to quarantine people that do not want to be quarantined. I'm not talking about just those that are ill. I understand that. There needs to be a sequestering of those away from the others that will not spread. I understand that. But they're quarantining and isolating entire areas, ladies and gentlemen, and saying to people, you can't come and you can't go. How long will that last, ladies and gentlemen? Where do we find the intersection of public safety and state and federal laws that will allow this to be done without having a court order to do so? Just thinking, I'm concerned where we're going with our civil rights, our constitutional liberties, and what seems to be a heavy hand across America by government, governmental agencies, basically saying we're going to control America. We're going to shut down the system. And ladies and gentlemen, further in this broadcast, we're going to talk about the nonsensical attitude that that has because of the sheer numbers and how it looks in comparison to every other flu virus that we've had in America, especially that which I'll cover from 2004 to the present time and what took place then and what is taking place today. I'll read you this article, just a blurb from it. With Seattle area public health officials poised to order involuntary isolation and cancel major public events, the Washington State Department of Health has issued a chart with 5 threat response levels, the highest being the kind of drastic action taken by Italy of shutting down the entire nation. King County, for example, which confirmed its first coronavirus case less than 2 weeks ago, is at level 2, the voluntary isolation of sick people and voluntary quarantines of people who have contracted the disease and those that are sick. But health officials are considering moving to level 3. Level 3 is the involuntary isolation and involuntary quarantine of anyone and everyone that intersects and interacts with all the people or any of the people that are in the entire infected area, and cancel all public events, end quote. Level 5 would be to cordon off and use a sanitary method, as Italy has instituted, in which officials order a halt to non-emergency travel and instruct people to remain indoors. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. I don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying. There is a movement by governmental officials across America to literally sequester you in your home, to order you to stay in your home. And in the case as in New York, where they've already called in the National Guard to basically guard the streets to make sure that you don't come and go. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, and I'll just toss this in. There's the doctrine of comitatus that says that the government cannot use military agencies, military forces, to come in and force the people to do anything in America. The doctrine is to protect American citizens. Now, I understand if there's a national emergency, and I think this is blown out of proportion, and they're trying to call it a national emergency, and I think there is a motive for that action. And that motive for the action is not being talked about. It's behind the scenes. We're going to talk about that after the top of the hour break. We're going to have a top of the hour break for about 1 minute as we bring the news. And right after the news, we'll continue this conversation and dialogue. That telephone number again is 831-0917. Keep in touch. Be right back after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.